CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we do this very thing, and that's answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events with a biblical perspective, what we hear in church, and hey, if you got a question, you come across something you don't understand, call us. We'll do our very best to give you that answer that'll satisfy your soul and also those that ask you a question as well. This Sunday, if you're in the Southern Idaho area, I'd love to see you here at the River Christian Fellowship. I'm teaching through Heroes of the Bible. Now, again, we all need heroes, but we're going to be looking at those special heroes that the Bible outlines for us in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 12 says, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, what are those cloud of witnesses? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about. Also, an end times update, what's going on in the Middle East. And for all those right now thinking that the Middle East, it's peace and everything. Nope. Yesterday or the day before, the parliament in Iran was still screaming death to America. So if you think this is over, nope, I'm sorry. I think it's just a time of regrouping and very possibly leading us into Ezekiel chapter 38. Now, again, when we understand that every time the Arab nations get close to losing the wars, whether it was the 1967 war, whether it was the one a couple days ago, if the war would have gone on, it went on for 12 days, but it, let's say it went on for another week, Iran would have been a hole in the ground. And everybody knows it. Israel whooped them. That's all there is to it. But right when they get ready to completely lose, ceasefire, ceasefire. We're peace loving. We're peace loving. Yeah, it's the same old story. And they do it every single time, only to regroup and try to come back stronger than they did the last time. Well, we're living in exciting times. Jesus said in Matthew 24, all these are the beginning of sorrows, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. All these are the beginning of sorrows. But I want to tell you, look up, your redemption draws nigh. That's right, because we, I believe, are on the verge of the greatest miracle in the history of the world, the rapture of the church. That's right. I believe that, again, as Jesus has promised, he's going to take his church home. And I pray every one of you listening today are ready to go. Now, how do you get ready? Do you send in all your money? Do you wear orange and sell flowers in airports? No. You ask Jesus to forgive your sins, the very one who died on the cross, and repent and desire to do God's will, not yours anymore. Remember when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you tired of doing your will? Are you tired of your exploits and all your labors coming to nothing? Well, there's a better way to live. And that's what being born again is all about. We go to heaven, everybody, because he's good, not because we are. And that's the gospel's truth. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker that we have on the week times, the Dacus Report from Pacific Justice Institute. We have with us Brad Dacus. Hi and welcome, Brad.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be on the show.
Looking forward to being with you, answering some questions. And I have my hat on. Do you see my hat? Ooh, with the flaming dove. That's from Ryan Reese's, Ral Reese's son's ministry, who was here last Friday night. It was a great time. We had about 18 people get baptized right there. We had a metal trough filled with warm water, and people were getting baptized after this time of spirit on fire. And I'll tell you, friends, it was really good. Awesome. We had friends that came from hundreds of miles away to be here for that, and it was really a grand time. So anyway, if you'd like to know more about that, go to our website, CSNradio.com or the River Christian Fellowship, you can look at it. Those who want to come to church on Sunday, hey, if you're in the Southern Idaho area, 10 o'clock in person, River Christian Fellowship, follow the signs to Shoshone Falls. And those that have to join us by radio because you're just too far away, wah, well, you can get us on the radio at 10:30 anywhere, Mountain Standard Time in the world. So looking forward to that. Brad, what's going on now? We have a new ruling for President Trump saying the Supreme Court said that these, non-elected judges can't keep pulling the junk that they've been pulling ever since Trump's been president. Your thoughts?
Yeah, actually, I'm very encouraged about this, tremendously encouraged, because it's what we were hoping for, what I was hoping for, which was a very clear message that judges, federal judges, there's over 600 of them, they have authority over their own people that are before their court, but they can't dictate to the rest of the country what they think the Constitution means, much less the President of the United States. It was a fantastic decision. The other issue dealing with birthright, that's actually going to be held off for another day. It's being brought back to the lower court. Then it'll be brought back to the Supreme Court. But the real issue was the limiting the power of federal judges to stop this outrageous abuse of authority. The other big case that came down, which I was really the number one case I've been watching this year, was the dealing with the Maryland school district that was secretly exposing children to all kind of radical LGBTQ material that was very contrary to what parents would want. We're talking about children, elementary school. It was awful. And the Supreme Court said that school districts have no right to teach this against the wishes of parents and the beliefs of parents, and they can't weave it into other things to keep parents from opting out. Parents have a right to opt out of this, and school districts must change to accommodate parents. And the argument from the other side was, well, you know, there are a lot of parents wanting to opt out. It'll just be too big of a burden. And the court's response to that was, well, then maybe they need to revise their curriculum so it's not so controversial and so isolating to so many parents. So it was a fantastic decision. We're going to update our opt-out forms that we've prepared already for people in different states across the country for parents. We're going to update them. They're going to be even stronger and more powerful than ever before. And we're going to be this will result, I'm sure, with more lawsuits against school districts that choose not to comply with this decision. It's a great case.
Amen. Parents. And it really, really is good because, again, once we understand that they try to work their agenda in any way that they can. And of course, brainwashing our children is so, so much on the top of their priority. You know, there's a difference between how to think and what to think. Our school system changed. It was called the Dumbing Down of America. And I think through a lot of the teachers' unions, it's been a complete success. It's what to think, not how to think. Now, let me explain the difference. Evolution, for instance, as an example. You have them showing these different bones and stuff and the monkey, and then pretty soon the monkey standing upright, and then pretty soon the monkey is shaving his beard, and now all of a sudden he's a truck driver. Okay, that is what to think. How to think, though, is different, because how to think would say, well, where are the transitional life forms of the monkeys starting to stand upright? Where is the transitional forms of fish becoming mammals and all the other in this whole insane evolutionary chain? Well, there isn't any fossilized or living. None in an evolutionary state or anything. It's just not there. Well, you'd have to then say, well, maybe evolution is not true, because even Darwin himself said this was the problem of his theory. But most of the time now in the schools, it's not even referred to as a theory. It's accepted fact. It's evolution. It's not the theory of evolution. I don't know if you noticed that when you were in school, if you're older, it was the theory of evolution. Now it's just called evolution. Evolution teaches us, is what I've heard over and over quoted. Well, here's the big problem, everybody. There's no facts for it. So how do you think would you'd have to say, well, wait a minute, since these transitional transitory life forms are missing, this may not be true. And as a matter of fact, with nothing that they're basing their whole ideas on, this whole thing could be false and probably is. That's how to think. What to think is evolution is true. Socialism is great. Stalin was a great leader. All of those are a big lie. And see, this is what has indoctrinated our schools today. Brad, you've probably seen this more than anybody else.
Yeah, and it's a very rampant in public schools, indoctrination instead of instruction. Throwing critical thinking out the window and just telling kids this is what's going to happen. The global warming from without really using information and critical thinking. So it's very problematic. LGBTQ movement, woke, CRT, you name it. These are all social agendas that are not based on how to think, but what they have to think to meet certain agendas, which are always on the left, very extreme left in terms of its worldview and philosophy. So it's very problematic. So this decision, it is a groundbreaking decision, and we're going to take full advantage of it. It's going to be a total retake for school districts like Los Angeles, Seattle, Portland, all the major cities in the country. I'm sure are going to have to probably re-examine their curriculum materials and the extent to which they have been, number one, putting in materials that parents would object to, but they want to opt out to, and then also the extent to which they're respecting parental opt-outs fully and completely as applied, not just to sex education or reproduction, but as applied to anywhere in the curriculum this kind of leftist propaganda has been brought in regarding LGBTQ and anything else that is morally unacceptable to parents. So the parents have to speak up. They need to contact us if they have that in their school district. Then we can work with them on filing the opt-out forms and then take it from there. So it's now parents have been majorly empowered. They need to take advantage of it. And we have all those resources for free on our website, pji.org.
Yes. And today's your day. If you have a legal question for Brad Dacus, attorney at law, it won't cost you $500 an hour. You can call right now and he'll answer those questions for you. Because again, it's so important that we understand who we are as Christians, understand our rights as American citizens, and do what we can do to preach the gospel to every creature. To the phones we go, 888 Ask CSN is the number to call. You can be part of the program today. And again, if you have a legal question, we have with us attorney Brad Dacus, and he'll be glad to answer those for you. We have Darren on the line, Austin, Texas. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, yes. I had a question, please. I'm a tech guy. I like computers and stuff. And in my room, I got these little robot statues as decoration. Mm-hmm. And I read in the Bible, the Old Testament, Israel would mess up a lot with graven images and worship them. And of course, I'm not worshiping these robots at all. They're just decoration. But I'm still kind of scared. Like, is that still considered a graven image?
I would say not. If you're not worshiping it, the whole target of, as an example, of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not make any graven images, was that this was what their concept of God looked like. And see, here's the problem with any graven image representing God. This is what God looks like. Well, where'd you get that idea of what God looks like? Well, I thought it up in my head. That's what it looks like. So whether it's a tiki god or some other form, God's so much farther and so much bigger than anything we could ask, think, or imagine that you cannot confine God into an image that you would set on a desk or in the middle of your floor and say, this is what God looks like. Because God is far beyond that. The Bible says those that worship him in spirit and in truth. The minute that I take a form and address that to being God, I'm limiting the awesomeness of God because, again, he's not limited to man's understanding of a carved image. So no, if you have a like that or a picture hanging on your wall or anything else, you know, I believe this is where we have to be very careful in getting legalistic. Now, if these things that we have in our room or in our house are things that, oh, well, you know, we don't put anything in front of our little statue, our tiki there. We don't put anything in front of that. I think that's where you're getting a little weird. Understanding it's a piece of brass. Understanding it's a chunk of wood. Understanding that it's a carved image. Hey, it's just some man's concept of what a god looks like. Completely different than something that you would, again, a plastic robot, you know, some kind of a Minecraft thing or something. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I agree. You know, God looks at our hearts. And if we're looking at that as just an object, we see it as an object. We don't see it as a god. We don't pray to it. We don't talk to it. I don't see anything wrong about having a statue or something like that. And in fact, sometimes statues can be great, can be inspirational when it recaptures a moment of history or a person of history that was living their faith, for example. So we can see graven images have actually been used very, very positively. The key, though, is just we don't worship it, we don't pray to it, which was a real problem back in the Old Testament. They made gods with their own hands, and of course, it was foolish because who'd want to have a god that you could accidentally break and by you know accidentally throwing it on the ground or accidentally burning it that'd be a very weak god. Well, our God is much greater than that, but that's what it was dealing with in the Old Testament, is people actually worshiping God, worshiping these items as God, and they were man-made, man-created. And that, of course, as Pastor Mike just pointed out, is very, very problematic from a logical perspective.
Idolatry got so bad in Israel that they'd go into the forest, get a chunk of wood. With one piece of the wood, they would carve it and say, "This is our gods." And with the other piece of wood, from the same trunk, with the other piece, they'd cut it up and cook their beans on it. How foolish man can become. That's what that's talking about, Darren. Hope that helps.
Yes, thank you very much.
God bless you. And again, never let anything get between you and your relationship with God. That's always going to be the most important. Stay online, send you out some books, some DVDs. I think you'll really enjoy it. And with that, we're going to go to somebody here. We're going to go to Ann, Midland, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi. My question is, I was listening to Stand in the Gap, I think, last night.
Uh-huh.
And he said something about the senators would go to whoever is head of parliament in our government and beg them to pass whatever. But why do we have a parliament? I didn't know we did.
I don't.
Oh, we
don't. But your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, what you're talking about is the parliamentarian. And this is a position, appointed position, that makes sure that the Senate abides by its own rules and its procedures. She is someone who was appointed from someone of a different political persuasion than the present Republican majority. So it's sort of somewhat frustrating as someone who was not elected pronouncing what the rule, that the rules supposedly keep them from passing the budget that they've been working on. There's a number of different options on how to deal with that. The Senate Majority Leader is going to take care of that. But it is shocking, though, to see how a parliamentarian can have that kind of authority, and that's somewhat problematic. But my understanding is that's going to be resolved, and Republicans are going to deal with it to be able to get it passed and have it go to House for reconciliation.
Does that help a little bit?
Yeah, it does. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes just the wording, because we hear parliament, we immediately think of like something in England or something like that. But it's basically just following the rules, which it's really kind of sad because it seems that there's two separate sets of rules. You know, we've talked about this for years that, you know, Obama, Clinton, the rest, they could carry out different strikes against American enemies. And when Trump went after Iran with the bunker busting bombs, after America had been attacked over 20 times by Iran, we lost hundreds America servicemen because of Iran's fol-de-rol and fiddly-dee. And I guess they just chanted death to America one too many times, a different sheriff in town, and let him have it. We didn't go to war with Iran. We gave them a heads up. There's more to come if you don't clean it up. And I really believe this is part of what it is. So everybody's trying to make rules for one particular party, but then it doesn't apply for the other political party. Real quick, Brad, talk about that for just a second, because we see such an unfairness here in what's going on.
Yeah, we see that kind of injustice taking place, and you know, it's when on one side, depending on who's in power, the left will say, "Oh, that's fine. That was a good decision by that president of the same party." But then, you know, now we have, you know, our existing president, President Trump, taking a very limited action, a one-time strike. And they're saying it violates the War Powers Act. It clearly does not. There have been more aggressive military actions unilaterally taken before in the past, and that wasn't even ever brought up. So it's very what's called a selective application of the law, which is another nice, polite way of saying tyranny. And fortunately, we know that the courts, since everyone went to the Supreme Court would not declare this to be in any way unconstitutional or a violation of the War Powers Act. So we're very confident of that. This is an act. The president has the power to take immediate military action in times of emergency or to prevent a greater harm from happening. We knew for a fact that Iran was on the cusp of not just having an atomic bomb, but actually also developing missiles to wipe out our number one ally in the Middle East, where a lot of Americans live, but also potentially the United States. They're trying to develop ICBM missiles. This wasn't like something we could sit and wait upon, number one. Number two, immediacy was necessary for the surprise before the everything could be disbanded from the big mountain lab that was there. We didn't want to give them any more time to take out the uranium. Some people say that they did it already. But we had to move on that quickly to seal it up and to make sure that we're not making it easier for them to restart their process of a nuclear bomb, which they have pledged to use to wipe out all Jews, and particularly Israel and the United States. So it clearly was not within the War Powers Act limitations, and it was within his authority as President of the United States under Article 2.
Hope that helps, Ann.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Stay in line, dear. We'll send you out some books, DVDs. I think you'll enjoy them. Share them with your friends. We're going to go to Darla in Michigan. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How may we help?
I wanted to direct this question towards Brad.
Okay.
Because what it is the apartment complex I live in, and I have a good friend here, and she's Mexican or Hispanic. And my heritage is Native American, okay? But our problem is where we live, there's a lot of haters here. And they say just horrible things. I was right outside when they were saying to her, why don't you just go back to Mexico where you're from? Mm. Well, she was born in Oklahoma. She wasn't born in Mexico, you know? She's totally American, you know? And they've said things to me because my Native American heritage, it's the way they say it, you know?
Sure.
And but what we're wondering is, and because the only reason they're picking on me is because I choose to be her friend. And I'm not going to dismiss her just because her color of her skin is different.
Absolutely not. But, you know, real quick, there is no room for prejudice in the Christian world. No room for prejudice really in anybody's life. Unfortunately, this happens. Now, I think that we have to understand there's a big difference between prejudice, though, and people who broke into our country illegally. And that's not just people from Mexico. Please understand that. It's from all over the world. And again, right. How many Iranians came into our country very possibly forming sleeper cells? We don't know. Our previous administration didn't care. And so they actually found many Middle Eastern passports on that trail that led into the United States. I believe it was Channel 7 News in Atlanta, Georgia, that did an amazing documentary on these people coming in, not just from, you know, Central America, South America, but from all over the world illegally with, we didn't know who they were. We didn't know what their backgrounds were, all those kinds of things. And in for some reason, if you objected to that, well, you were a terrible person, which really just shows the insanity of the last administration, because you just don't let anybody in. That's why people were vetted. That's why they went through Ellis Island and the other immigration offices to make sure you weren't a criminal, to make sure you weren't wanted by their police departments and all these things. That all went out the window. Brad, we've got about 30 seconds before we come up on the break. Then we'll pick this up on the other side. But any words?
If there's a landlord, if they're part of the complex, you should report that to the landlord. This is baffling that I'm even hearing this, that this is taking place.
Sad.
Yeah, it is very sad, very, very sad. And I would definitely report that to your landlord and have them review it. And that's the first step to see how it can be resolved at that level without going to law enforcement to the next level.
Absolutely. And for that landlord to protect, you know, himself as well and his interests and his business. We're coming up on a break, everyone. We don't want you to go away. If you want to be part of the program, 8888-ASK-CSN.
Did you know that every day Preborn's network of clinics experiences hundreds of miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
So when I came to my first visit and I had my sonogram and seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer women the blessing of life. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug, or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people, love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
Back to part two of Every Man Answer here on this Friday afternoon with Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute. If you would like to contact them, representing people like you and me against unfair laws and practices, hey, pji.org. MediShare.org. That's all you got to do, and type in, and then it'll give you the directions on how to find the best legal department to represent you in that organization. I think it'll really be helpful to you, and don't take these kinds of things on all by yourself. That's why God provides other people in the body of Christ to help us through these troubling things. Now, going back to the phones, we have Darla on the line, and you were saying, Brad?
Yeah, I'd first talk to the landlord or property manager. I'd let them know what happened. In fact, I would put it in writing, specifically what happened, who was involved. If you know what units they're involved in, I assume they're in the same apartment complex. Is that right? Yeah, okay. So I would do that and then let them deal with it and address it and see where it goes from there. If that doesn't solve it, you can call local law enforcement, police, or sheriff's department, and say this is what's happening. They may not do anything. Then you can also deal with see if there's a state agency. Depending on your state, you may have a state agency that you can contact that deals with issues of hate or hate speech, and that's something else that you could possibly do as well. But that's really unfortunate. Is this a public housing complex by any chance? A government housing complex?
Yes, and I want to tell you, I already wrote a letter, and so did the other girl involved, and we submitted them to the management here, and nothing happened. We just got blowed off, and we were told to stay away from them. Well, we don't really hang out with them, because no one likes to be picked on, but there's a little group that sits outside, and they cuss and swear, and I was told that it's their right. They don't have to they can swear if they want. And, but I feel like that violates my rights, And then the other gal involved, they've called the police on her several times, and it was all a lie. The police came, and they've went through her entire apartment and didn't find anything. So the girl who did that, she deliberately filed illegal complaints against my friend,
Pretty serious, Brad. Your thoughts?
Yeah. This is dealing with landlord-tenant law to some degree. And I'm not an expert in landlord-tenant law. So, and also I don't know as far as your state, what your state may be affording. But I would talk to your state civil rights divisions or department. That deals with issues dealing with housing, fair employment and housing department, perhaps your state has. And I'd file a complaint along those lines, and they will generally investigate and determine whether there are any remedies, if there's any state or federal or civil rights statutes that have been violated. That's what I would do. But also, these individuals, is it during the day? Are they not working?
Yeah, some of them don't work. And what our big problem is at night while we're trying to sleep, like my car has been broken into. The other lady, her car was damaged. And again, we've reported all this. The police have come. And that's what's funny. The police will come and they say they can't do anything. But yet when these mean people accused my friend of things that were not true, the police came and it went through her whole apartment, and I just don't think that's right.
Were these people that are doing this, are they Caucasian?
Kicked out of this apartment complex. And
Hello. These people that you're talking about, are they Caucasian? Mm-hmm. Are they different? What kind of, are they a different race or a different nationality?
They're Caucasian.
They're Caucasian, white. Okay. Yeah, that's so it's clearly there, and how you described it is clearly a racial difference here. It's not like they're the same ethnic background and just a whatever. So I would you've already talked to police. I would talk to your the Department of Fair Employment Housing and your state agency and put a report with them. The other thing I would tell you you might want to do is reach out. This is not a legal thing. This is more of just a human relations thing, is that you might want to just reach out and give them double grace and double love and just connect with them. Say, you know what, I just want you to know, I really don't want to upset you guys. And I just really want to get along, and I just want to apologize for anything I've said or done in the past. So you let me know if sometimes that'll break right through. And that's how I've done things before. When people are angry or yelling, I just, I try to humble myself and try to connect with them and look for anything that I can, legitimately apologize for. It sounds sort of simple, but human beings are actually more simple than people think, I think. And you have other issues internally about themselves they don't feel good about. Oftentimes that's the case. They may have a very low self-image, and those people are often people who feel compelled to put other people down to somehow make themselves feel better. But that's just from a not a legal perspective, from a Christian perspective, something you might want to think about. How can I connect with them? How can I show them, maybe make them homemade cookies? I want to make you homemade cookies. I've probably said and done some things in the past that have been, I just want you to know, but I want to start all over, and I just want you to know that. And, that may go where somewhere it may not, but it's something that I would definitely consider possibly implementing. And then, who knows, maybe God will make a breakthrough here. But legally speaking, though, report it to Department of Fair Employment and Housing if you've already reported to local law enforcement. And then maybe they can do something, because of the racial and discriminatory nature of their conduct and speech has different protections in different states.
And you might record it with your phone, just as you're walking by, if they're doing that. And then that way, when the police come, you can play it to them and say, this is what they're doing. It's pretty hard to argue with actual footage. And if you can just kind of record their behavior, show that to the police, and then say they make this stuff up about my friends and myself. But you can see the nature of people that these people really are. And I think that would also play into the picture quite well, dear. I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
And your cell phone will record it for you. Just if you're not familiar with that, you can always Google on how to record with your phone. But certainly you can take some pictures, and especially the things they're saying, I think, are very important, because otherwise it's just your word against theirs. But if you can actually play that, it's pretty bulletproof, and that'll help you a lot. Stay on the line, dear, if you like. Send you out some books and DVDs. Great to share with your friends and maybe even some of your enemies there. Stay on the line. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Steve in Reno, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hello, Pastor Mike. Thank you for taking my phone call. I'm listening to you guys every day, and you've been a real blessing.
God is good. How can we help?
Yes, sir. My question to you, sir, is concerning biblical divorce. My wife and I have been married for 33 years, and she's a Christian, and I'm a Christian. We attend our local Assemblies of God here in Reno, Nevada, actually Sparks, Nevada. Anyways, the last 10 years, Pastor, my wife and I, myself inclusive, have been very emotionally disrespectful, and just a lot of emotional abuse, me giving it and her giving it to each other. Well, about a year ago, my wife decided to separate. So we've been separated about a year, and she has, let me get into a little bit more detail. There's been no drugs, no alcohol, no physical abuse. It's more just the verbal, which is probably worse. So anyways, we've been separated about a year, and she filed for divorce at the end of May of this year. It's been now about a year and 3 months. My question to you, sir, is biblically, is that grounds for divorce?
Well, I mean, if somebody files out a divorce for you, you don't have any choice. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah. If someone files a divorce against you and you have made every effort to reconcile and to try to work things through, sometimes that's being willing to humble ourselves and acknowledge our own shortcomings, going to a psychologist sometimes. Sometimes being willing to have a neurological examination. Sometimes people with head injuries, for example, can be snappy and things that they not even realize it. They get help, but that's basically if she's the one that filed, and you've made a good faith effort in trying to heal and reconcile, and she doesn't want to do that, then she's the one that's divorced you. You didn't divorce her, but. I know of a story, though, where, someone was they were Mormon and they got divorced and the husband couldn't remarry until his wife married and was, in sin. So he was encouraging her to remarry. So that way he'd be off the hook and he could marry this girl that he loves. That's a legalistic, he's just as guilty, if not more so, than the wife. And yet he was trying to use, religious technicalities to somehow shift the blame to her. You don't want that to become a part of the mindset. It's really a matter of the heart and really truly knowing that you are doing what you can do within your powers to stay together and work through your issues. And if that's the case, and she's the one who filed for divorce, then I don't see sin there.
I hope that helps.
I'm sorry, you didn't say you don't see sin there? I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
No, if she's filing on a divorce on you, there's nothing you can do about that.
Right.
Right. Right. So, but my question is and I appreciate your input, gentlemen. I've been seeking Christian counseling since the week after she left. So I'm in intense counseling. I'm very involved with my church and my pastor. And I was just wanting to know, given the situation, what she has just said, the emotional, abuse that we've, had the last 10 years, she says that biblically that's grounds for divorce. So my question is that true? It biblically, does she have grounds to divorce me?
Well, I it doesn't sound like it, but I would also say, did you guys ever seek any pastoral counsel before you guys separated?
Yes, I did. She would not. She's to this day, sir, she's not involving herself with, because our pastor has reached out to her many times. The counseling organization that I'm going to, the group there has reached out to her. She completely refuses. She's going to another church, a Christian church, Bible-based. But, it's like, okay, I'm wanting to follow God's plan. I want to be, in his will. But as far as divorce, which is, a major issue, it, within my soul, I'm wanting to know, biblically, does she have the right to divorce me given the emotional abuse the last 10 years? That's the question.
Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you implied that it was mutual, that you're both arguing and demeaning and putting each other down, but there can be situations where one spouse is mentally and emotionally, so degrading of the other that it's unhealthy for the other person to stay there or to allow that kind of continued bombardment and a demeaning treatment. And sometimes that's because the person doing the treatment, doing the actions may not be aware of it. Sometimes they need counseling. Sometimes they have a neurological or brain issue they're not aware of. So it's just really hard based on the information to know, quote unquote, who's at fault and who's justified, whether she's justified but I would not give up. I'd let her know that you're going to counseling, let her know you're working with the pastor, let her know if you need a neurological exam, whatever, let her know what you're doing at the very least so that she knows you're exhibiting the humility and the willingness to do whatever it takes on your end. And then at that point, it is up to her.
Okay.
I it sounds like she's the one that's trying to run the train. So I think that, what she does, certainly if you've tried to get biblical counseling, there's not much you can do. It takes two to make a marriage, it takes one to make a divorce. And it sounds like she's bent on that. So I wouldn't feel any, the Bible says now there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin. It's extremely right. hard on children, especially in their, adolescent years. But again, this is one of the great problems that we find. People's definition of roles in the family in the last 50 years in the United States and globally has changed so much. 100 years ago, people pretty much understood a man's role and a woman's role. Today, we don't even know what a woman is and what a man is. You got men going into women's bathrooms, men putting on dresses, competing in women's sports, taking away their scholarships, and these same people are getting married to other people. Do you think that's a grounds they're going to have a lot of problems in a relationship? You see, they're all topsy-turvy. They're all mixed up. And you say, well, yeah, but we've been married for 33 years. We're kind of the old school. Yeah, but if you listen to the philosophies and the idealisms that are being circulated on the internet and by a bunch of goofy friends that don't love God or whatever the case may be, you can end up with all kinds of crazy ideas within people that have been Christians for 35 years. So again, I think this is where we have to go back. And the Bible says to dwell peaceably with all people, if you can. If you can't, like I say, it takes two to make a marriage, one to make a divorce. And if she's running the train into the ground, so be it. She can deal with God over those things. But that's not your weight. And, if she's saying, well, it's all your fault, all these things you did in the past. Well, why don't you go to counseling and let's talk these things through? Well, I don't want to go. Well, then you're kind of saying, I don't want this to change. So I don't know. I think I'd be free in Jesus' name because, again, a person that doesn't want you, you can't make them want you. Once they say in relationships, once a person has lost respect for the other one, it's pretty hard to bring it back. And it sounds like that's what's happened with you, Steve. I hope that helps.
Oh, yes, it does. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, sir.
Steve,
stay
online and send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, a little book called Time to Grow. Talks about these kinds of things. And again, that no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So important. Let's go to Bruce in Kansas. Hi, and welcome.
Yes, thank you guys for what you do on Fridays. I was wondering if Brad could speak on Miranda rights before you are arrested.
Okay, Brad.
That's a good question. I'm not a criminal law expert, so let me just a little caveat there. Miranda rights were created so that individuals would know their rights right up front and then be able to decide whether or not, for example, to waive those rights to speak or not to speak, their right to an attorney, for example. Are you dealing with a particular situation where you weren't given your Miranda rights, you were arrested, or someone you know was?
No, on three different occasions. I'm 75 years old. In the last 5 years, I've invoked my Miranda rights because I knew I wasn't doing anything wrong. And the police went into the motor, throwing me on the ground, pummeling me, knee dropping me on my lungs. And of course, calling for an ambulance. It's happened three times. So I think that I need to stop invoking my Miranda rights in a courteous way to police officers.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. When I look at videos of these situations, it almost always involves an individual who is being obstinate, non-cooperative, laying claim to their rights. Like, for example, do they ask you to, put your hands behind your back and you'd refuse to and say, I declare my Miranda rights, or I'm not going to get in the car, the squad car, I declare my Miranda rights? Or is there something they want you or ask you to do that you are refusing in the process of laying claim to your Miranda rights?
Well, they're wanting to know who I am, why I'm there, and I know I'm not breaking any laws. I'm on the public sidewalk on my e-bike or on my mobility scooter. And even though I'm courteous, I'm silent.
Well, why don't you just, I mean, I'm just wondering here, from a practical perspective, why don't you just answer their questions and be, you know, is there any reason you have to not respond to them? Do you think they're asking these questions of you just to harass you, to make life miserable for you? Or are they investigating the circumstances that they think might have, maybe it's a crime, for example, that happened nearby, maybe someone was robbed nearby. They're trying to find out who's the guilty party, wanted to ask you some questions. Yeah. I think a lot of the problems that generally almost all of them that I see happen, even with some of the high profile ones, every one of them involved individuals who are not cooperative and were obstinate in some way. And that complicated matters, and police had to go ahead and like, for example, they say, put your hands on your back. They don't. Okay. They got to wrestle them to the ground. You know, they say, get out of the car. They won't. Police officer has to pull his gun and say, get out of the car. So I think the problems that I see happening along these lines are almost always goes back to lack of cooperation. I think we need to, my general rule is, as even as an attorney, is generally as a Christian, we should cooperate with those in authority, be respectful. They ask information. We would provide that information unless you feel it is in some way incriminating you, or, you know, if they're out to get Christians and they want to know if you've gone to church. I mean, that's a different ballgame than them just inquiring, asking some questions in view of something that may have happened in the community that they're trying to figure out. So that's, I advise people, generally speaking, be friendly to law enforcement, respectful to law enforcement. They are government authority, and cooperate in every way. But if you say, nope, I'm pleading my Miranda rights, I refuse to talk to you, well, that tells them, well, okay, why? Why? Well, it's usually because someone has something to hide, and they're not being respectful. That's usually the signal, and it's a signal saying that they need to do further investigation possibly. But
real quick, Miranda rights don't apply to when they ask you your name.
Right,
a lot of people think, oh, well, my Miranda rights, I don't have to answer. You do.
No. They can ask you questions. They're not arresting you, or they're not putting you, you know, behind, in a handcuffs, putting you in the squad car to take you down. That's when Miranda rights. But if they're just asking you questions and they're not actually curtailing you in that regard, that's not Miranda rights. And I encourage you strongly just to cooperate with law enforcement. They, you know, they can really be very reasonable. They pull me over and I, you know, did something wrong or whatever, do they think I did? And I'll, even if I have no idea if I did or not, I'm still very friendly, very respectful. And things go along a lot better usually when we do that.
Yeah, I you got to realize that, you know, generally speaking, they're there to protect us. And whether it's you or me or anybody else, they don't know that somebody's going to pull a gun out and shoot them or something like that. And so this is why they're on edge. My heart goes out to them. I talked to a couple of police officers and I didn't know. I just walked up and told them I thank them for what they were doing. And I said, you know, I don't really know how you guys do what you do. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, you risk your life to go out and arrest these criminals. You know, you take their mugshots. We see them all over the post office, wanted. You know, the whole question goes back, why didn't you keep them when you took their picture? And these liberal judges let them go. So you risk your life to bring in hardened criminals, and then the judges let them go. And so you're jeopardizing your life for nothing. And I said, my heart breaks for you guys, because I understand that it's like we're trying, but is anybody else? And I really have seen that over and over again. And I think that's one of the great frustrations within the police departments and why they overreact sometimes to just good citizens because they don't know. Bruce, I hope that helps.
Yes, it sure did. I listened very carefully to what you had to say.
God bless you, Bruce. And we're out of time. Kimberly, the rest, I wish we could get to you, but if you'll call back first thing on Monday, we'll put you on very first thing. Bruce, stay online. Send you out some books, some DVDs I think you'll really enjoy. And Brad, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
If you need to contact Brad, you can contact him at Brad Dacus and, of course, pji.org. Have a blessed, safe weekend. Hope to see you in church on Sunday.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.